You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A few weeks ago, Oxfam released a report detailing the increase in wealth inequality around the world. Since the COVID pandemic began last year, the world's 10 richest men have seen their wealth increase by $500 trillion, while unemployment has reached its highest point in 90 years. Last week, I spoke to Advocacy and Campaigns Director at Oxfam New Zealand, Joanna Spratt, about the report. I started by asking her what the main findings were.
So our report this year was called the Inequality Virus, and it looks at how the wealthiest people on Earth, how quickly they made back what they lost during the coronavirus pandemic, and found that the 1,000 wealthiest people made their losses back in 9 months, whereas the rest of the world will probably take about over 10 years to make back their losses.
How specifically did COVID exacerbate wealth inequality?
Well, what COVID did is really bring to the fore the fact that we have a broken economic system. It was broken before COVID, but this global crisis really highlighted it for us, because there were so many people who didn't have enough to get through the day or put 3 square meals on the table for their kids before the virus, and then when they lost their jobs and had to live through lockdown and lost family members due to the virus, it just pushes them back even further. Meanwhile, people who already have wealth are more resilient, and they have a buffer. They can bounce back far quicker. So what it means is that wealth essentially protects them, and then they can very quickly recover and make back their losses.
How is this wealth inequality expected to continue over time? Is it going to get worse?
Well, I hope we can do things to stop it, and there are plenty of things we can do. But what we see looking back in time is that over the past few decades, wealth inequality has increased globally. So over time, we see a very small number of individuals who have billions and billions of dollars, so vast amounts that they'll never really need to live lives of well-being and dignity, and meanwhile the majority of the population across the world just struggle to get by day to day. And so this has been happening over time, but we can do things to change it, and that's what Oxfam's calling for, is governments and people and businesses to take action to stop this increase in inequality.
And so you talk about calling on governments to stop this. What are some tangible things they could do right now, say in New Zealand? What could the New Zealand government do?
I mean, the New Zealand government, there's sort of three areas that are really important to focus on. Spending on our public services like hospitals and schools, and making sure that everybody has a living wage, that they can have a life of dignity, but also looking at our tax system. And I think this is an area that New Zealand in particular could look a bit more closely. The tax system is a really powerful tool to prevent and reduce economic inequality in itself, but also the revenue that's gathered through the tax system can help fund those public services and make sure that people work in good working conditions. So, for example, looking at taxing people who have wealth more, because at the moment they don't tend to be taxed very much, and then that can help redistribute that income to people who need it.
And more globally, because obviously New Zealand's a small part of global wealth inequality, more globally, how can you try and prevent this? How can you get governments from all around the world to try and promote wealth equality?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a collective effort. This is a global collective problem, and so we all have to work together. So it is about people across the world and their countries asking their governments to put in place policies that work for everybody, not just the wealthy few. But also corporations can help as well, and many corporations these days, as we all know, have global reach, by making sure that they pay a living wage and that their workers have the right to collectively bargain and, safe working environments. So it's not just governments who have to do things, but also global corporations can take action as well. And again, that's about people demanding more of them and consumers demanding more of them.
And do you have optimism that this extreme wealth inequality will change?
I do. I mean, we've had it before in the past. Piketty writes about that in his big book on capital. And when governments put in place the right policy settings, then it did alter. So I do think we can do it again, but it is going to take concerted effort from people everywhere across the world demanding more of corporations and people in government.
That was Joanna Spratt, Advocacy and Campaigns Director at Oxfam New Zealand, discussing Oxfam's recent report on wealth inequality.
That was The Wire.
That was the Tuesday Wire for another week. We have a little update on a story earlier from Noah.
Chris Luxon, who was the Air New Zealand chief at the time of the deal with Saudi Arabia.
We regularly about women's issues in Aotearoa. But next, we have Noah up with the last piece of the show.
A few weeks ago, Oxfam released a report detailing the increase in wealth inequality around the world. Since the COVID pandemic began last year, the world's 10 richest men have seen their wealth increase by $500 billion, while unemployment has reached its highest point in 90 years. Last week, I spoke to Advocacy and Campaigns Director at Oxfam New Zealand, Joanna Spratt, about the report. I started by asking her what the main findings were.
So our report this year was called The Inequality Virus, and it looks at how the wealthiest people on Earth, how quickly they made back what they lost during the coronavirus pandemic, and found that the 1,000 wealthiest people made their losses back in 9 months, whereas the rest of the world will probably take about over 10 years to make back their losses.
How specifically did COVID exacerbate wealth inequality?
Well, what COVID did is really bring to the fore the fact that we have a broken economic system. It was broken before COVID, but this global crisis really highlighted it for us, because there were so many people who didn't have enough to get through the day or put 3 square meals on the table for their kids before the virus, and then when they lost their jobs and had to live through lockdown and lost family members due to the virus, it just pushes them back even further. Meanwhile, people who already have wealth are more resilient, and they have a buffer. They can bounce back far quicker. So what it means is that wealth essentially protects them, and then they can very quickly recover and make back their losses.
How is this wealth inequality expected to continue over time? Is it going to get worse?
Well, I hope we can do things to stop it, and there are plenty of things we can do. But what we see looking back in time is that over the past few decades, wealth inequality has increased globally. So over time, we see a very small number of individuals who have billions and billions of dollars, so vast amounts that they'll never really need to live lives of well-being and dignity. And meanwhile, the majority of the population across the world just struggle to get by day to day. And so this has been happening over time. But we can do things to change it, and that's what Oxfam's calling for, is governments and people and businesses to take action to stop this increase in inequality.
And so you talk about calling on governments to stop this. What are some tangible things they could do right now, say in New Zealand? What could the New Zealand government do?
I mean, the New Zealand government, there's sort of 3 areas that are really important to focus on, spending on our public services like hospitals and schools, and making sure that everybody has a living wage, that they can have a life of dignity, but also looking at our tax system. And I think this is an area that New Zealand in particular could look a bit more closely. The tax system is a really powerful tool to prevent and reduce economic inequality in itself, but also the revenue that's gathered through the tax system can help fund those public services and make sure that people work in good working conditions. So, for example, looking at taxing people who have wealth more, because at the moment they don't tend to be taxed very much, and then that can help redistribute that income to people who need it.
And more globally, because obviously New Zealand's a small part of global wealth inequality, more globally, how can you try and prevent this? How can you get governments from all around the world to try and promote wealth equality?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a collective effort. This is a, global collective problem, and so we all have to work together. So it is about people across the world and their countries asking their governments to put in place policies that work for everybody, not just the wealthy few, but also corporations can help as well. And many corporations these days, as we all know, have global reach by making sure that they pay a living wage and that their workers have the right to collectively bargain and, you know, safe working environments. So it's not just governments who have to do things, but also global corporations can take action as well. And again, that's about people demanding more of them and consumers demanding more of them.
And do you have optimism that this extreme wealth inequality will change?
I do. I mean, we've had it before in the past. Piketty writes about that in his big book on capital. And when governments put in place the right policy settings, then it did alter. So I do think we can do it again. But it is going to take concerted effort from people everywhere across the world demanding more of corporations and people in government.
That was Joanna Spratt, Advocacy and Campaigns Director at Oxfam New Zealand, discussing Oxfam's recent report on wealth inequality.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.